week we talked about how we as Christians deal with the sin in the lives of other people and our own sin too. And we did talk a little bit about church discipline last week as well. And what I would say to you is this, is Scripture really is very much connected with Scripture, and context has everything to do with our meaning and understanding of things. And what I would say to you is this, is I think it would be terribly wrong if we talked about what we did last week, but we never spent the time talking about what we're going to talk about this week, because the two things are intimately connected with each other. So much so that if you leave out one, you can't really truly speak about the other one. If you have a Bible, then if you'd like to open up to Matthew chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one under the pew. And if you really don't have a Bible at home, there are Bibles on the table out in the narthex. So please don't leave here without one of those Bibles. When we talk about the gospel, we very often talk about particular things, and one of those is forgiveness. And so I hope as we're reading here through these verses that you would be thinking about the gospel and what a big part forgiveness plays in that gospel. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times." Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, the Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had in repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him of the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay back what you owe.' So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. So when his fellow slaves saw that what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to the Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, 'You wicked slave, I have forgave you of all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I have mercy on you?' And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." Sobering words. You see, as all of this has transpired, you know, Peter's been witness to all of that Jesus has been doing and saying. And obviously, as Peter hears these things, he's convicted of something, and he understands this. He's understanding that Jesus is telling him that he must, in fact, be willing to forgive people. It's not a matter of choosing to or not. And Peter wonders, because we've all had these kind of experiences where we've forgiven someone for doing a particular thing, and then later on they do the same thing all over again. And then we have very mixed ideas about whether we should forgive again, etc. I would imagine Peter was thinking he was being very, very graceful in mentioning the number seven, which according to Scripture is the perfect number. So you need to understand that has something to do with what is going on here. But I would imagine that Peter was very much surprised when basically Jesus told him not 7 times, but 490 times. Are we to forgive those who come to us seeking forgiveness? Need to understand what Jesus has done here is he's taken away any ground that Peter thought he might have for not always being willing to forgive people. You see, Peter thinks it's a matter of calculation. Jesus, on the other hand, makes it very clear that it's a matter of the heart. It's a heart condition. Just remember, we talked about discipline last week. It always involves sinner confronting sinner. And what we're talking about this morning is something like that, and that is sinner forgiving sinner. What I would say to you this morning, my friends, is this, is if you simply cannot forgive other people for wrongs that have been done against you, then you simply have a low estimation of the wrongs that you've done against God. Because that is the one thing that puts all of this into the proper perspective and the proper focus. How many times has God forgiven you? 7 times? 7 times, 70 times. Or try this one. With every breath that you take. Because let me ask you this, even for the very briefest moment in your life, have you ever loved the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength? Have you ever truly loved, for even a brief moment, your neighbor as you love yourself? See, guys, the gospel is all about forgiveness. Not only forgiveness granted, but forgiveness lived and practiced. Jesus gives us this parable, the parable of the unmerciful servant, and it's obviously, when you read through it, you know from the very end of it exactly what it means. This is not one of those parables that we read, and it's kind of, we think it may be confusing or something like that. There's no question about what Jesus' meaning and intention is in this parable. And it would be obvious to everybody, not just believers. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle his accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Now, do you understand what 10,000 talents is? Roughly on the order of like $10 million. Okay. So we're not talking about here where someone owes someone just a little teeny tiny bit. We're talking about someone who owes someone so much. There's really no way if they repaid it through their lifetime that they would ever be able to repay that debt. You need to understand that. We're talking about a debt so great that it was impossible for this slave to ever pay it back. Now, we look at that and we say, well, how in the world could a slave possibly acquire so much debt to the king? Because we know that slaves basically don't have much of anything, right? That whatever's theirs actually belongs to their master. So how in the world could a slave? Well, we need to understand that the term that is translated here, doulos, is slave, is sometimes translated as servant. And it might be better for us to understand, this might have been someone that was more in a position with a king. For instance, maybe a tax gatherer who had been collecting taxes, and he was supposed to give most of it. You need to understand the tax gatherers kept some of it. That's how they made their living. But the majority of it was to go to the king or to whoever else was in charge. And maybe what was going on here was he was just cutting off the top. You know, Instead of giving the king what the king was due, he was keeping more and more of it for himself. In other words, he had taken advantage of the king. Now, we have all been sinned against. Everyone in this room has been sinned against at one time or another by a number of different people. There is no exception to that. So we do have a part in all of it. In other words, there have been times when we've been in the position that the king is in, where people have done wrong against us. And we have known it. Sometimes we're talking about very minor things, and let me tell you, if it's a minor thing, you need to just kind of let it go. We can't afford to be the sin policeman for everyone in this room, because if we did that, there would be nothing, no time to do anything else, and we still wouldn't come close to meeting what we were supposed to do. Sometimes we take very great exception to really minor things that don't mean diddly squat, right? In other words, what I'm going to encourage you to do as a believer is don't make mountains out of a molehill. Don't make things a lot worse than they really are. There are times when other people have wronged us and we have hurt very deeply as a result of it. And that's true for everyone here. Friends, family, strangers. We know what it means to be wrong. We, every one of us, at one time or another, have been on the receiving end of sin, other people's sin. Has everyone always paid you back what they've owed you? Have they paid you back with apologies? Well, I got one thing to say to you this morning. If any of you have my belt sander, I really would like to have it back. You're laughing. Now, I used to have this really nice belt sander, and I'm always very free at loaning things to people. And my kids will tell you this, and Lori too. The one thing that really gets my goat is when I loan you something and you don't bring it back. When it comes to people like that, I think there may be a special place in hell for people who don't bring back Sanders. And obviously, when I think about it, when I need it. When I'm in my garage and that's the tool that I need, and it uses what I need to, and now I got to get a hand rasp out or something and do the job that my belt sander could do lickety split. I'll just send it over to Larry's. The truth of the matter is I don't have a clue who I loaned it to. But I did years ago. We all have things that just aggravate and irritate the mess out of us. Has everyone always paid you back what they owe? We have all been sinned against. We've all had what we thought at times were very good reasons to punish those who sinned against us. And we have very often done that with words, with actions, with thoughts, with deeds. We forget that any time that we are dealing with something like this, we're talking about a sinner addressing a sinner. The Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Can you imagine? You know, the slave is confronted with this massive debt, and the king's demanding that it be paid, and he knows he can't pay it back, and he pleads with him, he begs with him to be merciful. And the king not only says, okay, I'll give you another 10 days or another 2 years or another 10 years, he says, I'm going to forgive your debt completely. In other words, you don't owe me anything. You don't owe me that $10 million. Now, we would think that would be a big deal, right? In other words, we're not talking about forgiving a small, insignificant debt. We're talking about a massive debt, an unbelievable amount of debt. The kind of sin debt that we have against God. Every one of us. In other words, the debt that we owe God because of all of our sins. A debt so great, my friends, that if we were given all of eternity, we would never come close to even scratching the surface of paying it back. Just remember, God has never sinned against anybody. Anytime he's borrowed someone's belt sander, he's brought it back to them. Every single time. Without exception. But the Lord of that slave felt compassion. You see, guys, when it comes to sinners, believers are sinners just like unbelievers are sinners. There's only one big difference, and that is this, that according to totally unwarranted mercy, God has forgiven the debt of a sinner. That sin debt through Jesus Christ, totally, completely, absolutely. In other words, what I'm telling you this morning is this, is if you truly trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to understand something, that the sins you committed have been forgiven, the ones you're doing right now have been forgiven, and the ones that you will do have been forgiven completely, in totality. You can't add anything to them. You can't take anything away from them. Some people look on the God of the Bible as this God of great wrath, but I want to challenge you with the idea that this God is full of love. This God is full of mercy and compassion, and he freely doles it out on people who don't deserve it in any way, shape, or form. Do you understand that the mercy God has given you, the compassion God has given to you, you do not deserve it at all by any stretch of the imagination? What you deserve from him is his wrath, his hatred, his anger, a miserable, absolutely miserable life. That's what you've earned for yourself. Let me tell you something. As a believer, you have received mercy like no one else ever has, by any comparison. For as great as your sin debt is, much greater is the mercy of God toward you. What I'm telling you guys is this, is if you know these things that we're talking about, if you know the forgiveness of God, then you know the mercy. You know mercy like most people have never experienced mercy in their whole lifetime or ever will. A magnitude of mercy that is beyond your comprehension. What Jesus is saying in this parable is this, is if we understand the mercy that we've received, we will be merciful. And if we're not, we don't understand it. We don't have a clue. And just remember this. It's not an absolute picture here of what God has done, because remember this. In our particular case, the debt was paid. It wasn't just forgiven, it was paid. And it was paid to the one to whom it was owed. Our debt cost the life and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, God is a perfect God, and that means God is perfect even in His justice, and that means that justice always has to be served in God's courtroom. It always has to be. He's not going to just let people go. He's not going to look upon you and say, oh, well, you messed up a little bit, but forget about it. Do you understand? He can't do that because He's perfect in His justice. His justice, perfect justice, must be served every time. And what it comes down to is this, is either people are going to give account to Him for what they've done, or Jesus has already done that for them. You understand what's going on here. He's saying this, that if you understand my mercy to you, then you will be merciful. If you don't, then you just don't even understand. That slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And you need to understand something. 100 denarii was nothing compared to 10,000 talents. It wasn't even worth talking about. It was diddly squat. And he shows his true colors in this. And the true colors are these. And that is that even though he is very willing to receive mercy himself, he is not willing to grant it. Doesn't it sound a lot like a hypocrite? I know of a couple. They were married, I would estimate, maybe close to 30 years ago. He's a pastor. Two times his wife was caught in adulterous affairs. The last one of those was very public, so everybody in the community knew about it. Today, they're happily married in the ministry in a PCA church. We look at that, we wonder, how in the world can something like that happen? And let me tell you, there's only one way, and that is for mercy, no strings attached. Period. Talked with a dear friend of mine this week. He's a pastor. His church and his family right now are going through probably one of the roughest times they've ever been through in their whole lifetime. His wife died a number of years ago very suddenly, took her own life. So not only him, but his children, his three children went through a lot in regard to that. His daughter, a number of years ago, married a fella, very churchy fella, a fella that over the years has been things like worship leaders in a number of different churches, PCA churches. Back in June, the police showed up at his house and arrested him for child pornography. And it was true. That family right now is struggling with forgiveness. And I'm sure you can understand that. Because most people would have the idea that that young man has sinned greatly, grievously against his family, against his wife, against his children, against his church. And by the way, he did some things that none of us in this room would ever think about doing. Right? I know the fellow, and I suspect that eventually forgiveness will come. And I'm talking about complete, total forgiveness. And what I want to challenge us with this morning is this. Is if we're not willing to forgive for the good of the other person, we need to be willing to forgive for our own well-being. Because let me tell you, there is nothing that is more destructive to a human being than a bittered heart. A heart that is unwilling to let go of the things, those sins that people have committed against them in life. And I know some of you, I've heard the testimony of many of you, and I know something of your upbringing, and I know what you've told me. You know, I was not there to experience myself, and I know that some of you guys have horror stories about your life up to this point. People, sometimes parents, sometimes grandparents, sometimes best friends, sometimes husbands, sometimes wives, sometimes children, have inflicted unbelievable wounds upon your own heart. Let me tell you something. One of the marks of the unbelieving is unforgiving. People that hold grudges. People that never get beyond where they need to get. You need to get to the point you can forgive even the most grievous things done against you. Because as bad as those things are, let me tell you guys, they're nothing. They're absolutely nothing. It's like the difference between 10,000 talents and 100 denarii, between what people have done to us and what everyone in this room has done to God. There's absolutely no comparison. But he's forgiven. Somebody told me one time that I talk too much about sin, and maybe I do. But let me tell you, I think one of the reasons I do is because I want us to understand that there's only one way to come to understand what grace is, and that is to understand, first of all, just how bad you really are. Some of us have a tendency to be very judgmental of other people. Jesus said, "You wicked slave, I forgave you." The Lord said, his Lord said, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" As we said before, we have experienced mercy in a way that people who don't believe the same things that we do have experienced, any of them. Let me tell you, if we are not merciful people, then there's a word to describe us, and it is called hypocrite. Hypocrite. You know, one person who, a person who demands something of other people but doesn't practice that same thing themselves. Do you understand that the world thinks that's what we are? A bunch of hypocrites who claim one thing and then they practice something different. That was my picture of the church for a long time, even till I was 30 years old. That's what I believe is church. All these churches, you know, filled up with people today, were just filled with hypocrites, people who talk about being good and doing this and all that other kind of stuff, but you just don't see them doing it in their life. Years ago, our family was confronted with a situation that was heart-wrenching. I mean, it really was. I mean, it went to the deep of our core. I met the person, met with the person responsible for that at one point. And they said to me, "How can you be so gracious considering what I've done?" And what I said to them was very simple. Either the gospel is true or it's not. Jesus does say some hard things now, doesn't he? Every one of us has relationships in our lives that we need to deal with. We've run from them. We've hidden from them. We've stepped around them. We've ignored them. There are people that you need to forgive. You really do. Why? Because God has forgiven you. Enough said. By the way, if you have my belt center, you can bring it back.